Let me borrow your microphone there for just a moment. Xavier? Now, Xavier, I need to interview you for just a moment. Could you come here for just a second? See, because the other night, I don't know if it was last night or night before, last night, you were telling me something about why you hadn't been on the bongos, and then I just noticed tonight you were on the bongos. I just wonder if you had...
Well,
I just thought you might have something to share here.
Well, many of you that were here last night might have seen me up here in the line. I had recently surgery to my shoulder, and everything was going okay, and I was having periodic pain, you know, occasional pain. But last Monday when I came to play, I could not move my hand. The pain was so intense. And I knew it was an attack of the enemy because they didn't want me to worship. That's my life. I'm a worshiper.
Hallelujah.
First and foremost.
Hallelujah.
And I was grieved all week that I wasn't able to be up there playing. But today, I was redeemed.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Happy birthday.
Hey, thank you. Now, Pastor Dave says all the time, some things belong to God.
Amen.
And all the glory is one of them. So one more time, let's praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Glory. I think we're going to have church tonight myself. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I don't want to have to obey the Lord. He was dealing with me to share something with you, and I just wasn't sure. Just wasn't sure if it was me or him. But then the pastor, sometimes the Holy Spirit will help you by giving you a witness. Turn to that verse again that the pastor had us turn to, Psalm 68, verse 18. Because what we've been talking about this week is receiving instructions from heaven. There are good ideas, and they really are good ideas. Jesus says, you can't even give a cup of cold water in my name and lose your reward for it. Thank God for good ideas. But see, we want to go on to the God idea. There's good, there's acceptable, perfect. Hallelujah. How's your neck, honey? I believe these people need to hear about your neck. Come on up here for just a second. Some of these folks wasn't here last night, didn't get to hear you. Praise God forever. Hey, when the Lord moves among His people, we need to honor Him. Praise God. Boy, look at you. Don't you? Look at her. Look at her. Glory to God. Doesn't she look sharp?
Praise God. Give glory to God. Praise God. I've been suffering with my neck from air condition, bus, train, everywhere I go. And always wore a wool scarf on the bus and whatnot, going to the chiropractor and everything else. And then it would hit me all back down in here. And I was just miserable, praise God. And I said, well, I just been praying and praying to the Lord, you know, for healing, praise God. And we can, praise God. But I thank God I came here, praise God. And God gave me the victory. He healed my neck. Thank God.
All right, move that around. Show them what all you can do there. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
And my back don't bother me, praise God.
Hallelujah.
And I just give God the glory because you know one thing, He's the healer.
Amen, amen.
He's the healer, praise God.
Glory.
I know year before last I started with the neck. And then I had to go to chiropractor about 10 or 15 times. And then last year I had to go about 10 times. And then I had to buy a heating pad. And I got so sick and tired of all of that, you know. And I know God is the healer. And I just give God the glory.
Let's give God the glory, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank Him. Thank Him. And I thank Him for being here. Also, praise God. I didn't even know where this place was until I got here. I live in New York.
Glory.
Praise God. Well, I'm glad to be here. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. And now we don't want to leave anybody out. Did anybody else this week get a physical manifestation of healing? You want to give a little? Here's another one. Come on up here. Let's share with the people what... You know, he told that demoniac, not that you were one. There, you know, that fellow, he cast all those devils out, you know. And then he says, no, he says, you know, he wanted to come follow Jesus. And Jesus said, look, I have a different assignment for you. What is it? I want you to go about telling everybody what great things the Lord has done for you. So let's tell them what things the Lord has done.
Well, I was suffering for about 2 years with these powerful migraines. And I never had a headache in all my life, never been sick. And it was to the point where I couldn't even have lights on in my apartment. I couldn't go out during the day, go into the sun. And I couldn't sleep at night. And I had to go, I got an MRI and a CAT scan. They couldn't find anything. And so when I came here yesterday, and the Lord touched me and cast that oppressing spirit off my brain. And I had a good night's sleep.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
No more headaches.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Your name is above neck pain. Your name is above headache. Your name is above shoulder operations. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Anybody else before we go on here now? Come on. Come on up here. Don't be bashful. These folks love you like a sister. You know why? You are a sister. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Well, I've been going through a lot of different things. A couple of years ago, I had cancer, and God healed me of that.
Glory.
Amen. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
And then recently, the past couple of months, I'm having like really high blood pressure, 200, over 100. They first thought I had some narrowing, whatever, where I could have congestive heart failure at any moment. And all those tests proved negative. And then it was just going along and along. And the last one they've been working on this past week was that I had tumors in my adrenal glands. And I was supposed to get the results on Wednesday, and a dear sister gave me a verse I knew was from me, where God is not a God that he should lie. So I said, wait a minute, I prayed that people for all the time. I'm taking that for me. So I started believing it, and I was supposed to get my results on Wednesday. I called because I was concerned. I didn't get them. So then I was supposed to get them on Thursday, and I called again, and I didn't get them. So today I said, I'm not even calling because I'm healed. I was here last night.
Hallelujah.
I was praying,
praise
and
God.
And a doctor called me, and there's absolutely nothing.
Hallelujah. Glory. Glory to God. Jesus, you get all the glory. It's all you, Jesus. It's all you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes, sir, we'll do that. Just lift your right hand now. Lift your right hand to heaven. God's in a giving out gifts mood. He's in a giving out presence mode right now. He's always like that. But listen, you give him glory like that, there's no telling what heaven will drop on you. Now, if you need a healing in your body, if you need deliverance for a child, I don't care what you need from heaven, ask him right now. Ask him. Oh, Father, we thank you. I thank you for handing out blessings, for handing out victories. Lord, I thank you for healing bodies. I thank you for your spirit touching wayward children right now. Father, I thank you for putting marriages back together. Lord God, move and touch and bless your people. Hallelujah. 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 We speak the kingdom of God, Father, thy will be done in the lives of these people. Just like it is in heaven, come kingdom of God upon these people now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. Praise your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Isn't the Lord good? Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, if you haven't found Psalm 68 by now, look on with your neighbor. Because the Lord was dealing with me about sharing something with you. And again, you know, we're all on a path. I hope y'all can tell Sue and I are about as normal as they come. That's part of our ministry. It really is, because people can... You know, we're real careful not to put on airs and try and make ourselves out something we're not. I mean, for crying out loud, I'm from Pottawatomie County, Oklahoma. She's from Star. Now see, to help to help y'all, Star, Oklahoma. To help y'all know where that is, it's a suburb of Kyoto. Well, it's close to Stigler. What I'm telling you, she's way out there, way out. Our idea of putting on airs is to wear socks. Yeah, wear socks with our shoes now. We're duding up now, see? And the point he's trying to make is, I mean, it don't take people about 5 minutes to go, them's normal folks. If God can use them, God can use me. Now, you got that right. You got that right. Now, see what we've been talking about this week. And by the way, the Lord said that prayer that you prayed at the beginning of this service. He says, I don't need to do no praying. You opened heaven, brother, with that prayer. Glory to God. He said, just get on with it. So let's get on with it. Let's read that verse. See, because what we're talking about is getting God ideas. Good ideas are fine. He likes it when you want to serve Him. He likes it, anything you want to do to help people. Pass out tracts, take food to the poor, clothe the poor, witness to folks, do good things. He likes all that. But boy, don't you know there's a good plan, and then there's a better plan, and then there's God's plan. See, a good plan, it's a good thing to take up a drive to collect funds to help poor folks that need that are deaf, to help them have hearing aids. See, and that's a good thing that man can do, and it's the nature of Christ in us that really motivates us to do good things like that. But see, where we're really trying to get to, how many of you know if our Father gets loose, He has a different plan for the deaf than hearing aids? The deaf will hear. The blind will see. Lame will walk. The maimed are made whole. Amen? Amen? See, that's what we're talking about, is a progression getting from just good ideas to God ideas. So we've been talking about that all week, and also receiving instruction from heaven. Now, one of the things we talked about, and by the way, the pastor will tell you later, the tapes are all free. If you leave here without the tapes, it's your own fault. Don't be blaming nobody, because they're free and they're back there. But one of the things we talked about this week are the gifts of the Spirit. That's one way that you can receive instructions from heaven. Most people aren't open to receiving those because we've been taught wrong religiously. We've been taught that the gifts of the Spirit are only for the fivefold, or only for the most holy, or only for the most mature. And really, the truth of the matter is, the gifts of the Spirit are the starting point. And you can tell that real easy from 1 Corinthians. Because what did Paul say about that church? He says, well, you're babies, you're carnal, I can't even give you meat. I'd like to, I have meat that I could give you, but you can't bear it, so I'm just going to give you milk. However, you come behind in no gift. And what book is it where we find all the listings of the gifts of the Spirit? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So if you at least consider, I don't care if you consider yourself really young in the Lord or maybe immature, hey, if you're a Christian, you are born. You're at least a baby. And therefore, you qualify.
Hallelujah.
Now what I'm about to share with you, the Lord gave me a witness through this scripture that Pastor read, Psalm 68, verse 18. Thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive, thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also. Now, isn't that interesting? For the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Well, let's talk about that for a minute. How many of y'all remember when I told you we have three daughters, all three of them are working in the ministry with us now, but there was a period of time where they did their best to go to hell on us? Anyone ever have any teenage children try to go to hell on you? You're a little rebellious? Rebellious? Now this incident I'm about to tell you is years, years before we were in full-time ministry. So we were just normal believers, lay people, have a job, go to church in the evening sometimes, maybe teach a Bible study. I think we were involved in the prisons at that time, but still, it was very much a lay person operation. Yet the gifts of the Spirit are for you, and they were for us. Well, our oldest daughter at the time was dating age and going through a little rebellious period. If she was here, she'd go, little. But anyway, how many of y'all can relate, though? See, I went through somewhat of a rebellious period myself. Thank God His mercy endureth forever. Amen. Well, during her dating age, and now we were really relatively young in the Lord. We were filled with the Holy Ghost. We were going to church. We were just lay average Christians. So just people, not ministry. And twice this happened, two different times during her dating years. On the first occasion, I'm minding my own business. We're at home. She's gone on a date, which is not unusual. She's at the right dating age, and we knew she was on a date. But suddenly, I start getting a witness from the Holy Ghost. I start getting an alarm on the inside. I start praying in other tongues, seeing if I can get the mind of Christ. The Holy Ghost is alerting me to something. Something's not right. Something's wrong. So I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, and eventually I know there's something wrong. Her daughter's name is Aaron, and he's letting me know Aaron's in trouble. The devil's got a plan, a bad plan for her tonight. So all I knew was I told Sue, I said, we don't know where she is. She's old enough, she can just be anywhere. And no cell phone in those days, that's right, no cell phone, no way to contact her. And the Holy Ghost is alarming me, and finally I tell Sue, I said, I'm going to have to get in the car and go. So, well, where is she? I don't know. You prayed, and she stayed and prayed in case, Aaron telephoned the house or something. Here I go. I have no idea where she is. I'm listening to the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you the best I know how, it's not exactly like a voice saying turn left or turn right here, but somehow I knew to turn left. And I'd go down a little ways and then, I need to make a right here. And drive a little ways and make a left. Now, I want you to look at this from my daughter's perspective, from Aaron's perspective. She's with a guy she's not supposed to be with, not the one she told us. She's in a place where she's not supposed to be. They're parked in his car, which I don't even know what it looks like. Okay? You're in that condition, and suddenly your daddy in his pickup pulls in the spot right next to you. Let me tell you, I don't care what kind of date that was. That totally spoils the mood, man. I'm telling you. The evening has been changed. You know what I'm talking about? Now, what's really funny, because I didn't know his car, and it was one of those that has the real dark tinted windows. I didn't even know it was them. All I knew was I thought at the moment it was a failure because I didn't find her. I didn't even know she was in that car. But boy, she recognized me in my truck. And everything changed. We found out later, whatever the devil had planned. Now, he only did that twice in all her dating years. One other time he did it, and that time she was at a house, didn't know where she was. Same kind of thing happened. Took me. Here we go again. Get in the car. Here we go. Wound up right where she was. And sure enough, without going into any detail, it was a dangerous, dangerous situation. And if I remember right, I brought her home that time. Brought her home out of that one. Because the devil intended to, I don't know whether he intended to kill her or what. Now that she's older, when your kids get older, they tell you stuff. If I'd have known it at the time, But she tells me now, she says, there was a lot of dates I was on that were kind of dangerous. I mean, really, I put myself in spots where I shouldn't have been. So she says, I can only imagine how serious, what kind of plan the devil had for my life. He may have been planning on killing me for him to send you out those two nights. And also think about this. Think about the impact that would have on her later in life. Several things that she knew that, for sure. Number one, God was watching. Number two, I don't care what she's doing or who she's with, He knows. And number three, He's looking out for her. in her rebellion. Let's read that verse again. Does that not sound like this verse? Does that not sound like this verse? Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell with them. People be expecting the gifts. This is our last night. I can't believe it's Friday already. This is our last night. The purpose of these meetings, God is trying to raise the elevation of all of our walks with the Holy Ghost. So that we don't walk as orphans. We're not orphans, really. The Holy Spirit is in each and every one of us. He is with each and every one of us. But if we're not aware of that, and if we don't lean on Him, and if we don't learn how to listen to His counsel, then for all practical purposes, we are orphans, even though He is with us. So let me lead you in a little confession before we even get further into this, okay? Number one, especially those that's been here all week, you know that these are right from the Scriptures. Number one, I thank you, Jesus.
I thank you, Jesus.
You did not leave me as an orphan.
You did not leave me as an orphan.
Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit.
I am not an orphan.
I am not an orphan.
I have one who leads me.
I have one
who teaches me.
I have one
who provides for me. I am not an orphan. I'm not left on my own to find my way through a lost and dark world. But I have the light of the Holy Ghost to lead me step by step, day by day,
all the rest of my life,
and finally into glory.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, if we could somehow tape record, well, we did tape record that, but somehow play that back in your ear for about 2 days, where you have to hear it all the time, your own voice saying that for about 2 days, it might start dawning on us. Maybe I ought to listen for the voice of the Holy Ghost. Maybe I need to quit thinking only in the box of man and begin letting the Holy Ghost get in my thinking outside that box. Because with Him, all things are possible. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you for that, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor, for that verse. You're obedient. Did that bless you? Does that give you hope? Now see, the gifts of the Spirit, we weren't in the fivefold ministry. We're just folks going to church and doing a few things for Jesus on the, you know, kind of on the side. I mean, you know, I got a job and everything. And yet the gifts of the Spirit are for us. He gives gifts even for the rebellious so that He can walk with them. Boy, that's good stuff. So let me ask you, I'm just going to ask you, this is a test, yes it is. Are the gifts for you?
Yes.
Is your expectation for the gifts, has it risen this week?
Yes.
And are you going to keep it high next week?
Yes.
Oh, don't you? You better not be lying to God now. He's listening. He'll forgive you anyway. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes, sir. Be going to Acts again, Acts 16. How many of you are here? This is the first night, the only night that you've been here. Okay. I'm going to read to you from a little flyer. You may or may not have gotten this little flyer that we send out. And if you didn't get it, the only reason that you wouldn't have gotten this, what this is, anytime we're going to minister somewhere, then everyone on our mailing list that lives within about 100-mile radius, we'll send a little notification. And I usually, if I can, if the Lord's told me, then I'll give you a little idea of what we're going to minister on. So if you didn't get the flyer that says what I'm about to say, the only reason you didn't get it is you're not on my mailing list. Now, our mailing list is not like a lot of them. We just send you a tape catalog and kind of explain the ministry to you. But all of our tapes are free. We pay the postage. There's not even a return envelope, you know. And the whole idea is if the Lord ever speaks to you to help us with that, that's between you and Him. But you'll never get an appeal letter from us. You'll never even get a letter like we're in need of such, because we just go. Our instructions are go to directly to Him.
Amen.
So we just go to Him. So you can safely sign up out there. There's a place out there on the in the lobby where you can get on our mailing list if you want to, and you can safely get on this one. I'll just be honest with you. We're not after your money. We're after your life. We're after your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Anyway, when I was asking the Lord what He wanted me to minister on, He reminded me of this period of time back in 1998 where I was really seeking the Lord. This was a period of time, and we were in full-time ministry then, had been for a while, and we had a lot of time to... He had arranged our life to where I had plenty of time, and I was praying roughly 8 to 12 hours a day during this period. Now, don't be intimidated. I don't mean that it's always like that. I'm not trying to make myself out. It's not like that all the time. But there are seeking times, and this was a pretty extended period of time where I would be gone before dawn, and a lot of nights I wouldn't be home till 9 or 10 o'clock. And it's just straight prayer, listening, seeking the Lord. And during that time, He taught me a lot of things, but see, what I was really after was specific instructions. I had some decisions to make. And, you know, I know it sounds good to hear Yogi Berra say, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. But I don't know how you really do that. You know, when you come to a fork in the road, you normally got to choose one or the other. See, and I wanted God's plan and not my plan. So here I am, I'm spending 8 to 12 hours a day seeking the Lord, mainly praying in other tongues with a little worship thrown in for good measure. You know? But I'm doing everything I know to do. Okay? So what's coming, though, is not instructions like do this next or make that decision. What's coming during that time is revelation knowledge for the most part. It's understanding. He's opening up passages of the Bible that I'm still teaching today and still walking in today. And I don't know about you, I try and talk to the Lord like He's real. I think He likes that. And so I'd go, Lord, it's not that I don't appreciate these teachings. I mean, I love it when You teach me from Your Word, but do You understand I got problems? I got decisions to make, you know. We're coming up to certain forks in the road, and I can't take them. I got to choose one. I got to choose something here. And so I was just having trouble receiving personal direction. I mean, like, what's the next step? What's the real thing You want me doing? And then finally, the Holy Ghost, He come to my rescue. And when He said to me this in September of 1998, He says, you're having difficulty receiving the instructions that come from the mind of Christ, in part because you're expecting them to come in a manner in which they shall not come. As I have spoken previously to you, when His instructions come, they come in such a manner that they release me to remove the burden from your shoulders. His instructions come in such a manner that the power of the Spirit of God is loosed to solve the problem. You are still expecting His instructions to come in a manner that will cause you to move. His instructions come in such a manner that will allow me to move, says the Spirit of grace. Simply continue to sit and listen to my counsel, and you will receive these instructions. Now I'm going to read just a little further this time because of something else, somewhere we're going tonight. The next paragraph said, these instructions are being spoken even now to your spirit, as you yield time in prayer to me, but your mind has not yet moved into the Lamb's room of fellowship. Now remember that phrase, the Lamb's room of fellowship. Your mind at this moment is still in the room of man. Got that? Understand, I'm taking you into the Lamb's room of fellowship. few enter this room. It's a different realm of operation from the carnal mind. And the mind has difficulty receiving instruction in this room. So he knows it's a training process. Now just quickly, just to show you the difference between the room of man and this Lamb's room of fellowship. See, now if you and the Lamb, if you're going to go in and sit down or bow down, however you want to picture it, before the Lamb, it's not like you going in and sitting down and fellowshipping with your best friend on earth. See, because we get together, even ministers, we'll get together trying to figure out things, and normally, I hate to admit it, but it's true, normally, even amongst the best I know, our discussions are usually pretty carnal. What I mean by that, limited to what man can do. We need financing, we need, we're thinking about a certain project, we're this, we're that. Let's pick something. Pick a feeding the poor program. Let's just pick that. We need to start a feeding the poor program. Normally, y'all correct me if I'm wrong, when we get together and our discussions are along the line of, well, we can mention it to our congregation, everybody can start bringing some extra canned goods, we need to take, ask for volunteers as to who would operate this thing, so forth and so on, see. Now, we can have that discussion in the room of man with no difficulty. Now, here's the deal. If you're going to walk in, and let's just say Jesus has a chair for you. He's up on a throne, and he says, come on in. I've been waiting for you to enter my room of fellowship. And you're going to go in there, and you're going to discuss things with him. You sit down there. We're in a whole different arena now. See? So, Jesus, we'd like to start a feeding program. Very good. He turns to a little table that's next to his throne, and there's one slice of the showbread. Y'all remember the showbread? He reached over there, he'll get one slice of that showbread, and he'll hand it to you. He'll say, well, here you go. Now go feed the multitudes. Well, how did he do it? 5 loaves, 2 fishes, fed 5,000 households, men. Counting wives and children, we're probably looking at anywhere around 10,000, maybe more people. With 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I heard one preacher say. Can y'all picture 10,000 people? Picture 10,000. That's a lot of people. I heard one preacher say, well, they had big loaves. You better have loaves so big it takes a flatbed semi to bring in one loaf. To feed 10,000 people. For crying out loud. No, it was a little boy's lunch. That's all it was a little boy's lunch. 5 loaves and 2 fishes, little bitty things. It's a little boy's lunch. It's what he brought with him. But now see, that's a whole different room of fellowship. Because he'll hand you a slice of bread and say, well, here, take this, go feed the poor with this right here. And what else he'll tell you? If you're in his room of fellowship, rather than you go back and ask your church for a volunteer to run it, and even people to help, he'll tell you who it is that's supposed to head up that operation. Let me tell you why. See, it's a good thing to have a feed the poor program. I don't care if you do it with canned rice. That you got to start somewhere. But see, the way we normally do it, because we find it in the Word that Jesus likes it to feed the poor. So, somebody, we get together, we have a meeting, our church needs to have a feed the poor program. So we'll get people together. Who will volunteer? I'll volunteer, yes. We need to feed the poor. So you start something like that, and it's a good thing to do. But if it's done on that basis because the Word says to do it, then what you're going to have, it'll start off well, but after a while, people are going to get tired, or they're going to get in arguments with each other, and somebody's going to get mad, they're going to leave the program, and then finally the leader after a while, whoever it was in charge, they're going to get tired of that, and they'll say, well, hey, I'm going on to something else. It's always going to be something the pastor's going to have to monitor and keep control of. But see, that's when you operate it because it's a commandment. It's one thing to feed the poor because you're commanded to feed the poor. But it's a whole different operation to feed the poor because you've fallen in love with the poor. Then it's your life. Then you would do it for nothing. Because the heart of Jesus was birthed in somebody. That's not doing it because it's a commandment. But they're doing it because His love for them has to be demonstrated now. Boy, there's a vast difference between those two operations. And Jesus on the throne, He knows your congregation. He knows, He says, that right there. I'm not pointing at anybody. This is not prophetic. Keep going. But see, the Lord would say, choose that one there. That's the one that most has my heart for the poor. Wouldn't it be something if Jesus actually got to run the church? Think of it. Yeah, I mean, what a concept. The head of the church actually run the church. Whoa, wouldn't that be something? Who knows? Who knows what church would be like? Well, did you notice that thing that he mentioned there about going into the Lamb's room of fellowship? See, you're thinking to start walking with Him there or to go into that room and be able to do any good, your thinking just has to be elevated above the ways of man because His thinking is elevated above the ways of man. If you're going to go in there and receive... He told me one time, you know, I'm trying to keep everything real simple. I mean, do y'all ever get frustrated trying to hear God? Oh, Lord. I mean... And it was just about this bad. Thank God He is merciful and loves me a whole bunch. But it was about like this. One day, I mean, I've been trying to hear God. What is it you... This is before He called me, you know, told me that I was a teacher. And other, but I mean, what is it? I mean, I about did it like, all right, I've had it with this. What is it you want me to do? Am I hitting any nerves here? And it was just about that bad. Thank God He's merciful. You know what He told me? I can almost see Him rolling His eyes in heaven. He said, son, at your present level of renewing of the mind, at your present level of transformation, if I was to actually tell you what it is I want you to do, your mind would immediately jump up and say, that's bizarre. That just can't be God. He said, that's why I can't tell you. Yeah, I can't tell you. Your mind, you'd never let it through the filter of the brain. You'd never let it get in there. He says, what you need to do is sit your little self down. Let my spirit teach you some more.
Amen.
Till your mind can begin receiving my instructions in the Lamb's room of fellowship. Now, y'all thought I forgot about Acts 16, didn't you? No. Now look at this. I'm going to quickly review this because we went into great detail in this on the tape one of the nights this week. But it's one of the best examples. There's others we could use, but this one is one of the best examples that I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're, you know, even the Apostle Paul, he had to go through a learning process how to determine the difference between good ideas and God ideas. Now let me just ask you, and I'm going to go through this pretty rapidly because he has a major point to get to tonight. And it has to do with that Lamb's room of fellowship. Boy, that looks pretty good. It smells good. Every now and then I get a whiff of that. By the way, the Lord has also blessed us this week, not only with everyone being so good to us and the wonderful hotel and the cooking everybody's done, but I myself personally got a major deliverance of something this week. And which I'm not permitted by commandment of the Lord to tell you about till next January. The next January I'll tell you. Praise God. But Paul himself had to go through this learning process. Now what we're about to read here, he has already been in full-time ministry for years. He'd already seen miracles. He'd already I mean, this is long after his Damascus Road experience. And Paul and Silas, and again, I'm going to skip over many details, They're out on the road, they're ministering, and they need to know what to do next. Fair enough? Sound like a situation you're in sometimes? You need to know what to do next. All right, now watch this. So Acts 16, looking at verse 6, and I apologize ahead of time for my Oklahoma pronunciation of these names. I'm doing the best I can. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, now notice, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. And after they were come to Mysia, they assayed, that means they thought about going, or they intended to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. Now notice, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. What do we call a vision that appears in the night? That's a dream. Or some people call them night visions. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now I'm going to skip over many things, but now notice this. Here's the point in order to lead into this next thing. Did not Jesus leave the commandment? One of the last things he said before he left planet Earth to go be with the Father. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Those that believe, that hear and believe it, they'll be saved. Isn't that right? So, based on that commandment, would it be, you reckon there's lost folks in Asia at that time? Why, sure there's lost folks. And so would it be a good thing to go preach the gospel? And don't we have word for that? See, it's a good idea. Nothing wrong with it. And had they chosen to go into Asia and preach the gospel, the Lord would have blessed them. Again, I'm reminded of Kenneth Hagin in his own testimony. Pastored churches. He was pastoring for 11 or 12 years. God so blessed that period of his life that in several of those churches, they didn't have one person die of sickness in all those years. I'd call that a fair blessing of the Lord. That sounds to me like the hand of the Lord was on there. But later on, the Lord, he and Kenneth Hagin were having a discussion. And during that discussion, the Lord told him, I never called you to pastor in the first place. I called you to be a teacher and a prophet. And he says, if you'll obey me now, even though you've been pastoring for 12 years, if you obey me and go out and teach and use your prophetic gift that I gave you, that will be the first phase of your ministry. And that's after you've been pastoring for 12 years. Now, this same thing could have happened to Paul. He could have chosen to go on into Asia had he not been sensitive and listening for the Holy Ghost. Now, the point I want you to make, is it a good thing to go preach in Asia? Sure. How about Bithynia? Sure, go ye into all Bithynia. The point the Holy Spirit wants to make is He will bless anything that you're doing for Him. Don't get that wrong. Now, don't misunderstand. There is a good, acceptable, and perfect. Hey, I don't care what you're doing for the Lord, He will bless you all that He possibly can. But can you see from this passage, there is a plan created in heaven from the mind of Christ that is God's best. Can you see that? The Holy Spirit forbade them to go into Asia. He didn't allow them to go into Bithynia because Paul could hear the Holy Ghost. That was not the actual mind of Christ for Paul's life right then. Does that sound like what we're interested in?
Yes.
Finding exactly what it is the Lord wants.
That's right.
Now, there's a lot more revelation on that that's on the tape that we did the night before, but now I just wanted you to get that part. Let me get your mind there one more time. Can you tell from this passage that there is a plan that is the perfect will of God, not just His good will, not just His acceptable will, but there is a plan that came from heaven? What was the plan in this case? Go to Macedonia. Now see, to me, that's an instruction that came from Christ on the throne. Because Jesus told us that the Holy Ghost doesn't say anything on his own authority. He's not Lord. He's not trying to be Lord. He is the go-between, between heaven and earth. He hears Jesus on the throne, and of course he's everywhere. We have to think like this. He hears what Jesus says on the throne, and he speaks that to you. Not on his authority. What he hears, that's what he speaks. So if Macedonia was the plan, that tells me that thought originated in the mind of Christ. Got that? Now I can lead you into this next one. We'll probably call this tape tonight the Map Room. The Map Room, M-A-P. This was February of the year 2000. I was in another one of those seeking times. I was praying, spending a lot of time with the Lord, and a vision opened up in my spirit. This one was closer to one of those. Still, it wasn't the kind like Peter had on the rooftop where he fell over in a trance, you know, and everything goes away. I was still conscious of my surroundings, but boy, this one was really strong. And suddenly, I'm in this room, like in heaven. I know Jesus is right there. People say, well, what did he look like? I couldn't tell you. I just know it's Jesus. I just know he's right there. And he's standing there as I enter into this chamber. And somehow you just know things. You know how dreams are, visions? You just know things. Somehow I knew that I was standing in the Lamb's Room of Fellowship. Y'all ever seen a Rand McNally map that's got, you know, especially a pretty detailed one, it's got the big red lines maybe are turnpikes, and they're usually big green lines because you've got to pay money. But, you know, the major highways are one color and they're thicker, and then the smaller highways, they're thinner and probably, you know, black. And then you get down to the little roads, you know, they're maybe gray, just a little line. You get a real detailed one. Boy, it can look pretty confusing. Well, that's the way this was. It was as if it looked kind of like a road map like that, but it was very detailed. I mean, it would be as if you included every single road in the whole world, not just the interstates and the major highways, but also the little two-lane roads, the asphalt roads, the gravel roads, and even the little dirt roads. Now, if you can imagine a map, and the walls, every wall, and it wasn't just four of them. There was more, like a big, giant museum-type place. And these little walls would come out even from the sides, and they had maps on them. I mean, I never saw so many maps in my life. And I'm looking at this, and the Lord began to explain to me. I heard his voice. And he says, welcome to the Map Room of Life. These maps depict for your soul the perfect plan of the Father for each believer's life. Each path represents their hundredfold walk if they followed precisely the leadership of their shepherd. These paths of life are not to be seen as being fatalistic nor predestined by sovereignty. No, they simply represent the hundredfold walk which the Father planned for every believer before the foundations of the world. You would call these paths the mind of Christ for each believer if they both heard and fully obeyed my instruction every day of their life. You would also describe these pathways as being the narrow way for each believer if they were to fully walk out their individual calls during their lifetime on earth. Now get this. None are forced onto these pathways. The Father has ascribed choice to all of His children. Most believers live and die in areas far away from these paths, yet they are received lovingly by the Father upon their arrival in heaven. They suffer loss of reward, but never loss of love. As the Good Shepherd, know and understand that I am constantly aware of the location of every one of my Father's sheep. Both those that are on the path for their life and those that are not. I am aware, precisely aware, of where they are, what they're doing, how far away from the hundredfold path they are, and what is required to get them back on that path again. For those that come aside from the world to seek me, praise me, and fellowship with my spirit, the direction back toward their path of life is set like a compass within their spirit. Little by little, my spirit directs them from their present location back toward my Father's perfect will for them. For most, this is a long and tedious process, and the majority do not endure the journey. Many additional side journeys are usually made along the way as the lure of unmortified flesh pulls them toward the baubles offered by the enemy. Still, even this wayward journey back toward the hundredfold walk is productive, even if it is only done in seasons sporadically, because the end result is they walk closer to the hundredfold than they would have attained otherwise. And their reward in heaven is increased by every step taken closer back toward the hundredfold walk. Now keep that thinking and look right back at Acts again. Would you not say that for Paul, the next stop on his path, the hundredfold walk, was to go to Macedonia? Now he could have gone to Asia, could have gone to Bithynia. How many of you know later on the Lord would get him to Macedonia anyway, if he kept seeking the Lord? Can you see what he's saying here? But the point being, Macedonia, that's the hundredfold. That's the time is now, go now. All right. Now, as you all know that's been here all week, I'm pretty heavy on praying in tongues. Can you tell that? I believe in it. I recommend it. Because let me tell you, I think I want to demonstrate. Where did I throw my glass case? There it is. I like visual demonstrations. Now, let's just say, and for benefit of the tape, I'm standing right in the center of the auditorium. There's a red carpet that goes down in between the aisles here, right down the center of the church. Now, let's just say for teaching purposes that right down the center line of that red carpet right there, that represents Gary's hundredfold walk. If you could see in the map room of heaven and find Gary's road, a road named Gary, there's a road there. All right? Now, let's just say that right down the center line of this carpet right here, for at least a while, that represents the perfect 100-fold path for Gary's life, if I could just find it. Trouble is, when I heard this message back in 1992, when Dave first started teaching us and encouraging us and exhorting us and almost begging us to start spending long hours praying in other tongues, I honestly believe I was about 42 miles away from that path. I don't think I was any ways near what God had called me to do. And what's worse, I didn't even know what the path was. And what's worse, if I would have known what the path was, I wouldn't have had a clue how to get there. Now, I almost died. Those of you, you'll hear this on the tapes later on anyway, what I call falling out of the truck. I come within one breath of leaving this planet forever. And I was in my middle 40s. And Sue, of course, rushed to the hospital. It was over in Arkansas. We live in Tulsa. But she came, and then Aaron came. And boy, I didn't look good, did I? Did not look good. And I knew it was scary as all get out. So I have time to lay there, you know, and I'm laying there. Let's see now. I'm in my middle 40s. Let's see. Walking according to my wisdom my whole life. My wisdom, what has it accomplished? Gee, it's got me killed. I'm dead now. I mean, I come within a breath of just being dead. Perhaps God, I ought to change and start walking in God's wisdom instead. You hear what I'm saying? And one of the things that I know from, you know it yourself, from 1 Corinthians 14:2 and Romans 8:26, 1 Corinthians 14:2, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. No man understands him. Isn't that right? How be it, or this is how it be, in the Spirit, you're speaking mysteries. Well, one of those mysteries, I mean, one of the main questions we get all the time, Brother Gary, how can I know my call? Well, that tells me it's a mystery to them. Wouldn't one of the things the Holy Ghost start praying through you? Romans 8:26 says, we don't know what to pray for as we ought. Boy, you got that right. How can I pray to be a teacher when at that time, in the body of Christ, when at that time I don't even know that's my call? I don't even know how to pray as I ought. I wouldn't know step one about how to do it. But it says the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, He'll make intercession for me. When I don't know how to pray, He'll make intercession for me according to the perfect will of God. So picture me 42 miles away from my call. And you know, I'd like to say I'm a great man of faith and power. No, I'm lying there in the hospital bed going, my wisdom got me dead. I believe I'm going to really start listening. I'm going to pray and start listening to the Holy Ghost. See? So what's happening? I start yielding my spirit over hour upon hour upon hour, listening to the Holy Ghost. You know what He's doing? He is making intercession and also teaching my spirit. And again, if you could see me, for benefit of the tape, because they can't, I'm way over at the right-hand side of the auditorium, representing being 42 miles away from God's perfect will for my life. But look at this. Soon as I start yielding to the Holy Ghost. Remember, I'm not an orphan. There's someone here to guide me. There's someone here to teach me. But see, he's not a soul. He's a spirit. And I'm a spirit. And He longs to communicate spirit. I like to say it face to face, spirit to spirit. I start yielding over. Let Him start praying God's will through me. So my feet's been going this way. I'm 42 miles away from my call, but here I go. Shandele la bra costa. You'll watch my feet. Conde da labrando ste mancuro. Shandeda labrakunde. My soul, I don't have any idea. My spirit, my understanding is unfruitful at that point. Kandeda labrando stende. But the Holy Ghost is communicating the mysteries of God to me. Shandeda labrako. For benefit of the tape, step by step, inch by inch, He has turned the path of my life. My feet are headed right back towards God's perfect will. And if I let Him have His way, I don't care if I am in my middle 40s at the time. He'll get me back on the perfect path of God for my life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. How important is praying in other tongues? No wonder the devil has fought the message of tongues harder than the cross. Good Lord. People that love God. You guys love God. You wouldn't be here on a Friday night for crying out loud. You could be doing a million things. But without the leadership of the Holy Ghost, for all practical purposes, we are orphans. We don't know where to go. We don't know what we're called to do. We don't know how to do it if we do know what we're called to do. No wonder the enemy has, just like in any army, if you can cut off the supply lines to the enemy, if you can cut off the communication lines from headquarters, it's chaos. It's pandemonium. You can win that war and never even have to fire a shot. They'll just starve out. That's pretty well what's happened to the body of Christ spiritually. You know? Boy, you start yielding over to the Holy Ghost. And yes, of course, your mind in the beginning does it. It plainly says you don't know what to pray. Where? In your head. But the Holy Ghost does know what to pray. He knows Macedonia. He knows the plans, what I'm saying. Just like He knew Macedonia was it for Paul, He knows the next step for your life. Start yielding over, praying in other tongues. Let the Holy Ghost begin directing you. And it's a slow process. I'd like to tell you, you pray 2 hours and you're an apostle. It ain't that way, is it, brother? No, it's little by little. Just like God teaches us it in our intellect, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little, so it is with the Spirit. But boy, He is downloading information. Your spirit is capable of receiving so much more information faster than your soul. One time, this was recently, this was just in the last few months, you know, Aaron, our older oldest daughter, has gotten married now. And her and Kyle was coming over to the ugly building and praying. You know, sometimes it helps to, if you kind of buddy up with somebody. You know, you've had good intentions. Yeah, I'm going to start praying 7 to 8 or something like that every morning. But see, you've got nobody to, no accountability. They were struggling a little bit, getting into a regimen. Said, Daddy, can we come over there? Like from, you know, certain time to certain time. Because we know if you know we're supposed to be in prayer, we're more likely to be there. So, isn't that good? That's that same girl that God sent me after, you know. Now she's seeking after God, you know. Hallelujah. So they would come over there, and sometimes they'd spend quite a while. Well, they happened to be there during when this happened. I went through a spell this last year of, it was about 3 weeks. And I'm talking Monday through Friday. In this case, I was praying about 5 hours a day, praying in other tongues. Now, remember, that's my calling. Don't be intimidated by those numbers. I'm just telling you because that's the way it is. So I'm praying about 5 hours a day. Now, I'm just like you. Hey, I like it when the visions come. I like it when the revelations come. I like it when I can feel His presence and get goosebumps about an inch long all over my body. I like that. You know, feel that brush of angels' wings and hear Gabriel's trumpet. Glory to God, you know. Don't you like that? I tell you what I don't like. Shondalying my lips off for 5 hours and don't hear nothing. And then go back the next day and do the same thing again. And then go back the next day and do the same thing again for 3 solid weeks. 5 hours a day. But see, I've been at this a while. I'm not a novice. And I've learned from past experience. Don't be discouraged. Be encouraged. Because this next mystery that He's explaining to you, honey, is going to be a doozy. It just means it's hard to understand. And during that period of time, He is communicating the mystery first to my spirit.
Amen.
And once my spirit understands it, He turns around and says, hey, soul, check this out. Really? Sometimes it'll come in. I'll get something in a flash. It'll take me months to preach it out. So much was downloaded immediately. 3 weeks go by. They're there. And I'm daddy to them. I'm preacher to you guys. I'm daddy to them, you know. So they ask me, what'd God tell you? Nothing. Not that I know in my soul. I mean, He's communicating to my spirit, but I didn't hear anything. Next day, what'd God tell you? What'd God show you? Nothing. I'm just praying. I call those plowing days. See, I'm from Oklahoma. Most of my relatives are farmers. Hey, it ain't no fun. Oklahoma soil is got a high clay content. It's hard to plow. And you get in the hot Oklahoma sun, about 106 degrees, about 90% humidity. Especially my relatives my dad's age. Because when they used to do it, they did it with mules. And you walking along behind with one of them. We're talking hot work, and it's not fun. But it has to be done if you're ever going to have a harvest. You got that?
Yes.
Well, that was like, I call those periods of time when I'm just praying and praying and praying. And to the best of my knowledge, I'm not getting anything in my head. I call those plowing times. Man, we're plowing through something difficult here. They happened to be there the day that the exchange was made from my spirit man to my soul. I have a little laptop computer. It's an old one, but it's fine for what I need it for. And I keep it there, and I can type. Sue and I had an excellent high school typing teacher named Mr. Browning. She and I can both type faster than we can talk. Okay? So I keep that handy just for such events. They hadn't seen me type anything for about 3 weeks. All of a sudden, download. Oh my! I'm reaching for the laptop and I begin typing, and I'm typing, and I'm a typing, and in about a space of 2 hours, I downloaded in my understanding the book of Hebrews, and I mean pretty well the whole book. Which it says of itself, it's some difficult stuff in there. He put it together. When I know it's Him, it's when every verse flows like a running stream with the verses before and the verses after. See, when man tries to figure out what the Bible means, a lot of times to make this verse fit your doctrine. You ever tried to pound a square peg into a round hole? Bam, bam. This verse has to mean that or my doctrine's wrong. Bam, bam, bam. I've been there too. But when the Holy Ghost comes, and when He shows it to you from the mind of, who was it? What does the Bible say about what does the Bible say about itself? It was written by holy men as they were inspired by the Spirit of God. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
You reckon the Holy Ghost understands the Bible? So when He explains it, and you let Him download it into your spirit, man, I'm typing all this, and I mean every verse flows like a running stream. No pounding, no square pegs, and no round holes. Oh, I got more. I could not teach in the next 2 years what He downloaded there in about 2 hours. But really, it was over a space of about 3 weeks. Don't get discouraged praying in other tongues. Now see, you say, well, I need more than teaching. I need to know what to do. Well, but see, I am a teacher. For me to go teach, I need stuff to teach. See? You understand? Wouldn't it be something? Okay, I'll come. I ain't got nothing to teach, but I'll come. You know, that won't work, right? Well, whatever it is your calling is, He's going to download into you what it is you need to know or what it is you need to do. Even if it's things like how to rescue your wayward children, how to get that disease out of your body, how to get your spouse on fire for God. Yes, sir. Bora masen de lebratos. Bora mansete lebratos. Bora. See, when you start making strong intercession for somebody, religion combined with humanism says this lie. Because now you're taking away their free will. Listen, God will never take away anybody's free will.
Amen.
Let me say it so plain nobody can miss it. He will let you go to hell if you really want to. I mean, won't He? He'll send laborers across your path. He'll speak to you in dreams and visions. He'll minister to you every possible way. But if you set your mind to it and you choose hell, He'll let you go. Hey, if God was ever going to override anybody's free will, wouldn't it have been Adam on his way to the tree? You know, break his legs, isn't that what we would have done? Break his legs, do something. Sew his lips shut, something. Right? Or he can't eat that apple? Do something. That proves to you right there, God never overrides anybody's free will. But let me tell you something. How many of you know what the Bible says about our Father? He is not willing, it's not His will, that anybody perish. I don't care who they are. Isn't that right? Now watch this. Here's how the Holy Ghost helped me. See, you may be married to a spouse, no matter, you know, whether you're the wife, whether you're the husband. Maybe you're on fire for God, and let's just say your spouse isn't even saved. We'll just use that for an example. Well, first off, that's not God's will. Get that part straight. Get the second thing straight. No, you're not going to override their will, because God's not going to override their will. But this is the way He showed it to me. You know, in the book, 1st or 2nd Corinthians, I think it's 2nd Corinthians, yes it is, chapter 4, He says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to those that are lost, because the God of this world has blinded their eyes to the glory of the gospel that shines in the face of Jesus Christ. Something like that. Am I close enough? The God of this world has blinded their eyes. So He was telling me, He says, look, when you start making strong intercession for somebody, and you even go so far as to use the faith of Abraham, and you stand before, you like grab hold of the horns of the altar, I call my husband saved. Father, I call my children saved. And you start making intercession like that, He says, part of what you're doing is you're making warfare, you're loosing angels to go forth who hearken to the voice of my word, and they are moving back the forces of darkness that got your loved one blinded. He says, now picture this. The only reason they're headed for hell is they can't see where they're going.
Amen.
And then he showed me this little vision like this. You just picture anybody that's come right up to the edge of a giant chasm. I mean, you're looking down into the Grand Canyon here. Your toes are hanging out over the edge of the lip here. And you look down in there and it's liquid fire. One more step, that's where you're going to be. And you look up into heaven, you look up and there's all the glories of heaven with God the Father and Jesus on the throne, streets of gold and happy everywhere, and in between those two things there's a cross. And now you got a choice. You mean I can go to heaven instead of liquid fire for eternity? And the choice is the cross, and it's free. God goes, who in their right mind is going to choose liquid fire? He says, the problem, son, is they're blinded. They can't see it. You make intercession for them like that. You begin even calling them saved. You pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the harvest, and you live the life in front of them. And he says, I'll move heaven and earth to get the blinders off of their eyes where at least they can see the real choice, and then the cross will mean a lot more to them. They'll find out it's a free gift. He says, not many will choose liquid fire if they really know that's their choice. They'll choose Jesus every time. Amen? Don't ever let anybody accuse you of taking away somebody's free will. It makes me so angry. I hear people, you know, especially old PhD type people. And if you got a PhD, but I'm talking a kind, see, there's PhD where they really are PhDs, and then there's PhD where it's just post hole digger. Or piled high and deep, either way, okay? But they'll say stuff like, well, we don't want to force our children, in, you know, yes, we're Christians, but we want our children to be able to choose their own path. You know what God calls that? You're raising your children to tell them idol worship is the same as serving Jesus. You're going to raise them to choose some false god? Boy, that is so far, that's a post-hole digger. That's a post-hole digger mentality. They don't understand the mind of God. You're supposed to raise your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, you parents. If that's got little kids, if your Bible is never open and reading to your kids, you need to repent before God. You need to raise them. They need to understand it. They need to be saved early. Baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues early. Let's give them a fighting chance in this world. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at that lying clock. You're going to have to do something about this clock now. Hallelujah. Okay, this is my first closing. For those on my mailing list, what does that mean? Nothing at all. Hallelujah. Go back to John 14. When I say back, we're just picking up from the previous night. We haven't been there yet tonight, but we really are going to wind this down. Now, I would recommend that you all get these tapes, not because they're difficult to understand, but they are easy to forget. See, the kind of teaching that the Lord lets me bring to the people, no one ever... Now, people may leave here going, they don't agree with what I said. You know, that's okay. They're wrong, but it's okay. You know? But nobody leaves here going, now what did Gary mean by that? He's got it simple enough. You know what to do, don't you? You understand what's been said, whether you agree with it or not, at least you understand. But now the thing of it is, Satan comes immediately. And the bottom line of this thing, yes, sir. Yes, thank you for reminding me. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I love the Holy Spirit. Yes, sir. This is how he wanted me to conclude this. See, in the course of this week, and there's no condemnation. We had so many people ask. You know, when Sue and I are ministering in a line, and the reason we do this is because Jesus would do this. Remember when those blind men would come up? Yes. And, you know, now, in the early days, if we're praying and somebody who's blind, tap, 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 comes up and gets in the line, I mean, see, I would have just jumped to conclusion is what they come up for. Jesus didn't do that. Blind men would come up to him, and he'd say, what is it you'd have me do for you? Isn't that right? say. Leave it up to them. See what they wanted. So, you know, when we're ministering in a line, y'all notice most of the time we'd ask you, what is it that you'd want from the Lord, you know? Well, so many people had when we asked them, their answer was something like this. And so he's answering it tonight. He's answering your thing tonight. They would say, my request is that I'd be able to hear God and that I'd be obedient to follow His voice. Now see, that's a good thing to ask. And I told several of them, and I'm telling you all again, because even if you didn't come up in the prayer line for that, how many of you want them to hear God and then be obedient to what He says? But see, you can't really get that in a prayer line. I can't pray anything for you that will cause that to happen in your life. What does cause it to happen in your life is start really developing a real relationship, you and the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Amen.
So if Sue and I leave, which we are going to leave tomorrow back to Tulsa, and your prayer life doesn't change, you wasted your time, and I failed you. I didn't get it across to you. I didn't burn it into you hard enough. I didn't get it to you. You can hear the Holy Ghost, trust me. And you can have the capacity to obey what He says. But it's not something I can give you, nobody can give you by laying their hands on you. You're going to have to develop your own relationship with the Holy Ghost. Now, some of you wasn't here, and so I'm going to use this example again. Sue and I, we're going on our 28th year being married this year. And most of y'all have met Sue, right? Do y'all like her?
Yes.
I do too. So if you guys would, you know, if like tomorrow, if we go to, let's say he goes, I got to go to Bloomingdale's one more time. I got to go to Bloomingdale's. Let's say we go to Bloomingdale's tomorrow. And you happen to see Sue in there, you'd recognize her, wouldn't you?
Yes.
And you'd probably come over and say, hey, Sue, how's it going? High five, babe. You know, something like that, right? In other words, you've got a relationship enough to where you know Sue to a certain degree. But see now, and she'd be nice to you, wouldn't she?
Yeah.
Because she likes you. She likes people. But now see, your relationship with Sue is one thing. My relationship with her is based on 28 years of living together all the time.
Yeah.
Now you think you know Sue? I know Sue. And she knows me. We got a relationship that's been developed over a long period of time. And you do understand, I can't give you my relationship with Sue by laying my hands on you. You got that?
Yeah.
You have to develop your own cotton-picking relationship with Sue. See what I'm saying? Now, it's exactly the same with the Holy Ghost. Now, you can receive the Holy Ghost by people laying their hands on you and praying. But then really, your relationship, your walk with the Holy Ghost is between you and Him. And you know what? He's always there. He's always ready to fellowship with you. Question is, how much of the time are you going to fellowship with Him?
Amen.
And I'm telling you, a real good way to start that off is start scheduling some prayer time, praying in other tongues. He is a spirit. At your core, so are you. The best level of fellowship is face-to-face, spirit-to-spirit. Your soul will get in on that, but it comes after the fact. The time you spend with the Holy Ghost, especially praying in other tongues, face to face, spirit to spirit. As you do that, these verses, we'll start here in John 14. This is my second closing. I want to just sum up a few things that Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. John 14, look at verse 16. All of these things, it's not that you haven't heard these verses before, I know everyone has. What I'm telling you, you can begin living these verses. Jesus said, I'm going to pray to the Father, and He's going to give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees Him not, neither knows Him. But you know Him, For he dwells with you and shall be in you. In the King James it says, I will not leave you comfortless. But the Greek word translated comfortless there is O-R-P-H-A-N-O-S, orphanos. People, Jesus did not leave us as orphans. It, boy, right there is shouting ground. We have someone with us. Each and every one of you has someone with you. His name's the Holy Ghost. You're not an orphan left to find your own way to a lost and dark world. Just like your eyes are the light of the body, through your eyes, you see. And you don't stumble into chairs and people because the eyes give you light. So the Holy Spirit gives light to your reborn spirit. And you don't know where to go, but you spend time fellowshipping with the Holy Ghost. And He brings sight to your spirit where you see where you're going, where there's no occasion of stumbling. One time Jesus said it this way, boys, are there not 12 hours in the day? What He was trying to tell them, that they didn't understand the decision He was making at the time. And what He was saying to them, look, I'm not stumbling in the dark. I haven't made a mistake. Just like the light gives sight to the body, I'm walking in the light of the counsel of the Holy Ghost. There is no occasion of stumbling when I'm walking with Him. That is part of your inheritance. The Holy Ghost is yours. Say it with me again. I am not an orphan. Hallelujah. Let's go on through here a little more. Go down to verse 26. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things. Say this after me. I have a teacher.
I have a teacher.
His name is the Holy Ghost.
His name is the Holy Ghost.
He teaches me everything. And He even brings to my remembrance things Jesus has already said. Hallelujah. Let's come on down here a little ways. Boy, there's so much. Let's just take John 16. Go over to John 16. Look at verse 13. Now, all of these things you're going to... I know you know them. You could probably teach on them better than I can teach on them. But see, it's one thing to see the promised land. It's another thing to possess the promised land. I don't want you knowing these things. I want you walking in the light of His counsel. Hearing God ideas from the throne, from the mind of Christ, for your life. Not stumbling around, wondering if this is God's will, wondering if that's God's will. Hear from heaven. It begins with that simple little gift of praying in other tongues. Just begin spending time with Him. Letting Him make intercession. Learning to sharpen your spiritual ear where you can hear Him. And in obeying your conscience, which is the voice of your spirit. Verse 13. John 16:13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come. Oh, I love this. He will guide you into all truth. And He shall not speak of Himself. But whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. In other words, the Holy Spirit is not trying to be Lord. There is only one Lord. His name is Jesus Christ, seated at the right hand of the Father. So when you hear from the Holy Ghost, even though He may speak with authority, you remember when He said, separate unto me Silas, I believe it was Silas and Saul, whom unto the work I have appointed them to. In other words, He spoke in the first person. You've got to know that's Jesus' words. That's what He was just quoting what He heard at the throne. Okay. And He will show you things to come. How many of y'all think that'd be a good idea? Show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for He shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Now why? What is yours, Jesus? Well, all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I that He shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. What He's talking about there is the inheritance. Jesus is the firstborn, is He not? Is not He called the firstborn of many brethren? You know from Jewish law, the firstborn was the heir. But Jesus has made us joint heirs with Him. So part of the Holy Spirit's job as you spend time face to face with Him, He's going to begin showing you the inheritance that you have. And not just things like money, although if you need money, that's part of it. How about things like peace? How about things like joy? How about things like the gifts of the Spirit manifested when you need them? How about things like the anointing of God? You talk about inheritance. We have such an inheritance, but we've been religiously brainwashed out of nearly all of it. Hallelujah. And then here's verse 23. We kind of majored on this verse last night. He's just talking about what's possible for us. If we ever see that we may... Yes, let me read the verse. John 16:23. In that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. The important part of that is in my name. That's not a lucky rabbit's foot or like a seal of approval. I want 6 Cadillac cars. Bam, in the name of Jesus. No, that's not the way it works. What it's talking about there is when you have bowed before the Lord, you're owned now. He is your Lord. Whatever His will is, that is your life. Whatever He says, and He sends you on a mission to do anything. I don't care what it is. Feed the poor. House the, clothe the naked. Preach the gospel. Raise your kids in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Whatever His mission is, while you're doing that, you're doing it in the name of Jesus. And if you need anything, it says, you can ask the Father. And He will, I love it, He will give it you. No mamby-pamby, maybe so. You just never know what God's going to do. Old baloney. If you're doing it in the name of Jesus and you ask Him, I can tell you right now what God's going to do. He's going to give it to you in Jesus' name. Would all of that... Plus so much, you saw how much we had to skip over for sake of time. Gary, how could I begin walking in some of that? I've even taught some of that, Gary, but I ain't walking in much of that. I'd like to have some of those visits to the map room. I'd like to have some of those face-to-face communications myself. Gary, how did that begin? Boy, I'll tell you, it seems like the littlest thing. That's why the Bible says don't despise the day of small beginnings. The devil will do his best to tell you nothing is happening, this ain't doing no good. You start getting alone just whatever time you can. Don't start off with no 8 or 10 hours, you go nuts. You start giving some regular, and I mean regular. I'd rather see people 30 minutes a day every day praying in other tongues than shooting for some kind of incredible prayer life for a day or two and then not doing it anymore. Some sort of regular daily fellowship, spirit to spirit, please. Your spirit to the Holy Spirit, please. And the Holy Spirit back to your spirit. Real fellowship. Face to face, spirit to spirit. Just consistently begin doing that. And at the time you're doing it, trust me, y'all been there before. Doesn't feel like nothing's happened. Oh, your whole world is changing. The Holy Ghost, He found you. He knows where you are. He is going to turn your feet right back toward the path of God's perfect will. And if you keep that up, it won't be long. You'll find out you're not an orphan. The Holy Ghost come and He directed you right directly back to the perfect will of God for your life. Did any of that bless you?
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord for it. Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus!